Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats, we introduced to them in Revelation chapter 4 and 5. They sing, thou art worthy, thou hast redeemed us unto God by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nations. These 24 elders, which sat before God on their seats or their thrones, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come, in the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants the prophets, and to thy saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings, and an earthquake and great hail. And I call your attention to verse 17. We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And I want to preach this morning on a future thanksgiving. Father, we thank you this morning because you brought us together in the house of the Lord as we are. Ask you to bless this assembly and help us this morning that our minds would be focused upon Christ and they would be in us, birthed in us, strengthened in us, Lord, an attitude of thanksgiving. We give glory and honor to your name. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may be seated. I read to you about a future thanksgiving. The book of Revelation describes for us the last days of the present age, in which the governments of men are going to give way to the government by God. All kings, presidents, prime ministers are going to be replaced by one king, our Lord Jesus Christ, who the Bible describes as King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. All systems of law are going to be replaced by the law of the Lord. And political power, which, as we read in the book of Revelation, will be wielded by the Antichrist in the waning hours of this age, will be seized by Jesus Christ, and he will rule over this earth for 1,000 years. Without a rival, without competition, Jesus will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. The passing of the political power into the hands of Christ occurs under the seventh trumpet, the final trumpet. Violence is going to shake the nations according to the scriptures. At first, the Antichrist seizes control of the nations and then succumbs to Jesus Christ as he comes riding out of the heavens on a white horse, followed by the host of heaven. And as that seventh trumpet sounds in heaven, this final trumpet sounds in heaven, and all the rest of Revelation takes place under that seventh trumpet to the end of the age. The saints in heaven are informed of the ultimate outcome of the sounding of this trumpet. Notice in verse 15 in my text, the seventh angel sounded. There were great voices in heaven. There's a message going out in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So these saints, these 24 elders who the Bible says in Revelation chapter 5, come from every nation and tongue and people, they are informed that all the kingdoms from whence they come are conquered and being ruled by God and his son Jesus Christ. And here is their reaction when they hear this news that all the kingdoms from which we come have now been conquered and are being ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, by God and by the Lord Jesus Christ. This is their reaction. The 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God and said, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power." You've exercised your great power. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but over and over in the book of Revelation, where praise is emanating from redeemed saints or emanating from angels in heaven, they declare, "Thou art worthy to receive power and honor and glory." You are worthy to exercise power. And he says, "You have taken unto you your great power." Now the Lord is exercising his power and hast reigned. So there is a thanksgiving service in heaven. This is yet in the future, a future thanksgiving day in heaven when Jesus takes control of nations of the world. Their joy is the joy of knowing that their prayers have now come to fruition. Their prayers are bearing fruit. They have prayed in obedience to Christ. "Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And now then the announcement has gone forth in heaven. That prayer has been answered. Hallelujah. And so they are giving thanks to God because their prayer has been answered. The saints are thanking God for seizing the power of government on earth, because they know that now the earth will finally be ruled with perfect justice for all. The Lord will be king, lawgiver, and judge. He will embody in himself all three branches of government: the executive, the legislative, and the judicial. All in one person. The person of Jesus Christ. As American citizens, we consider this grand experiment on American soil of government of the people, by the people, and for the people to be the best form of government the modern world has ever known. I believe that. We are among those that are blessed to live under this government. America is a young nation, as nations go. But she's already been a beacon to the world in the area of civil government. Our forefathers, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, James Madison, George Mason, these men forged a new nation under God, designed to bring liberty and justice for all. We've not always lived up to our ideals. We failed the Native Americans. We enslaved the Africans. We have at times misused our military power. But listen to me. Despite our shortcomings, God has blessed this experiment in the American wilderness so much that few people could be persuaded to leave. Even those people who feel that America has failed them are aware that there is no better place to go. We don't have lines of people seeking to immigrate to other countries. We do have lines of people seeking to immigrate to our country. So in spite of our failings, multitudes of people in this world are dreaming of someday coming to the United States of America and living under our government and experiencing the blessings you and I enjoy every day. This period, this day of Thanksgiving that has been set aside as a national holiday is a day in which our nation aims for you and me to give thanks to God for the benefits and blessings provided to you as a citizen of the United States of America. And don't you ever forget how blessed you are to live under this government, in this land, so uniquely blessed of God, and give thanks to God. The tragic truth about America is that serious deterioration in the character of this great nation has already begun. The concept that most clearly defines the ideals of our nation is freedom and liberty. And those concepts of freedom and liberty mean different things to different people. Freedom to some means freedom to worship God. Freedom of movement in the country. Nobody's telling you, you can't go here and you can't go there. You've got to get a permit to go here, a permit to go there. Freedom to develop my potential and choose my livelihood. Freedom to express thoughts, exchange ideas. But to others, freedom has a dark side. Freedom to make and merchandise pornography. Freedom to reject family obligations. Freedom to express profane thoughts and ideas. Freedom to murder unborn children. Freedom to engage in unnatural relationships, homosexuality and lesbianism. And the freedom that results in unrestrained wickedness is undermining our nation. The decline of our nation has been marked by two defining moments in recent history. All of us practically here have lived to see that. One is 9/11. 9/11 began. It changed the spiritual atmosphere of this country. It markedly changed the spiritual atmosphere of this country. There was a concerted effort to remove Jesus Christ from the public square and replace him with a panorama of other gods, and particularly the Muslim God, Allah. Since 9/11, freedom for the Christian message has narrowed in this country. Secondly, the other defining moment in recent history is the economic crisis that we are still in, that was created largely by the housing bubble in this country. Washington was in a panic. They realized they had a major crisis on their hands. And the panic in Washington led to an overnight switch from a free market society to a definite and strong tide of socialism. Socialism has proven over and over again to empower the government at the expense of the freedom of the people. The health care bill that's making its way through Congress right now is a major part of the progress of socialism. And as socialism takes hold in this country, the freedoms of the people in this country will be constrained as socialism gains control. Eventually, corruption in government leads to collapse. And we have a nation now that is restrained by political correctness. Political correctness paralyzes this nation, prevents our government from identifying the enemy, costs us 13 dead soldiers at Fort Hood. And moral and spiritual decline will eventually lead to a total national disaster in this country. But for the Christian now, y'all been listening to me so far? For the Christian, regardless of the fate of our nation, we know that something better is on the way. Praise God. Regardless of how good our country is, we know something better is on the way. There is a king waiting in the wings, and his name is Jesus. Isaiah prophesied about him, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, when he sees his power, wars will cease. Righteousness will cover the earth as the waters cover the seas. The Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. The lion shall lay down with the lamb. Nothing shall hurt nor destroy in all his holy mountain. The law of the Lord shall proceed from Jerusalem. All nations shall gather in Jerusalem to worship the Lord and be taught by him. The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The lame shall leap as a hart or a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Hallelujah. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. In Jerusalem the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. And it shall come to pass, the Lord said, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The nations shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. And in other words, all the nations are going to disarm. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Is that the kind of kingdom you think you'd like to live in? That's the kind of kingdom that's on the way, brother. I'm telling you, all the kingdoms of this world are going to give way to that one blessed kingdom where Jesus Christ rules and reigns on the throne of David. Out of Jerusalem shall come the law of the Lord, and all nations shall go to hear the law of the Lord and worship God in Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Hallelujah. Oh my, there's no one like Jesus, brother. I'm telling you, nobody like Jesus, the Son of God. We sang about it this morning. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Praise God. Conqueror of death, conqueror of hell, he sits on the throne this very day. Thank God that Jesus is coming back. Thank God that there's going to come a day of thanksgiving in heaven, when the announcement goes forth that all the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. How do you get into this kingdom? Well, there's a picture in Matthew chapter 25 of a judgment taking place at the end of the tribulation All the nations are gathered before the throne. Listen to this. There is a judgment made. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Before Him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the King, did you understand what I just read? Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Listen to what He said. I was hungry, you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, you took Me in. I was naked and you clothed Me. I was sick and you visited Me. I was in prison and you came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. You're on my right hand. You're the ones that's going into My kingdom. You fed Me. You clothed Me. You visited Me. And what Jesus was saying to these people, well, let me go on just a little bit. Then He'll say to them on His left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry, you gave Me no meat, thirsty, you gave Me no drink, stranger, and you took Me not in, naked, and you clothed Me not, sick and in prison, you visited Me not. And they'll answer, Lord, when? And He'll say, Inasmuch as you did it not unto one of the least of these, you did it not to Me. And then these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. What's this judgment saying? What, you know, every time we believe that people are saved by faith, right? This is the basis of our salvation. But every time you read about judgment, it's on the basis of works. Why is that? Why is it every time you read about judgment, it's on the basis of works? I'm going to tell you why. Because your works either demonstrate that you have faith or you lack faith. And these people were judged on the basis of how they had treated the people of God. And Jesus indicated to them that this is how you have treated the people of God is an indication of what you thought of Me. So really their judgment was based on their attitude toward the Son of God. And He said to them, what you have done to My people, you have done to Me. And the attitude that you have to Me is shown up in your attitude toward the least of these. My brother and sister, it's going to mean something on that day to be on the right hand. And to hear those words, enter into this kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The King is going to say that. Who is the King? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. He's coming, children. He's coming. There's going to be a big change here in just a little while. And Jesus is going to rule and reign forever. Praise God. Are you ready? Have you made preparation? Do you love Him? Have you surrendered to Him? Is He your King right now? Do you live under His rule right now? Is Jesus sitting on the throne of your heart? I want us to stand together this morning. Father, we are so glad for the privilege that we have to be together in God's house again. Thankful, Lord, that we have the promise, the wonderful promise of the coming of Jesus. First of all, to rapture His people, and then to bring them back to this earth, to set up His reign on this earth. And we are looking forward to that day. It will be a day of thanksgiving in heaven when the announcement goes forth that Jesus has seized power and now rules and reigns over the whole earth. Lord, for those who do not love Him, for those who have not submitted to Him, it will be a dreadful announcement. But for those of us who have loved Him, surrendered to Him, submitted to His rule in our life, it will be a wonderful and glorious day when Jesus seizes power, takes unto Him His power, and rules and reigns forever. Lord, we thank You for the description You've given to us in the Word of God of this blessed kingdom. We have known nothing like it. We've never seen anything like it. But, oh God, we believe it. Oh, we believe it, that it's coming. Praise God. Oh, thank You, Jesus. I pray that You'd help us to be ready. Lord, don't let one be left out of that wonderful and glorious kingdom when Jesus comes back to reign. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming this morning.